Right. Hallelujah. You know that God is here to help in a time of trouble. I've never been in trouble before. Just me. I'm the only one, right? Help! Throwing out the SOS. I got kids back there going, yeah! Math tests, and spelling quizzes, and all that stuff. You know, trouble and problems, they look different to everybody, don't they? So when you're like 5 or 12, you know, I mean, the world's going to come to an end, you know, because you've got a math or a math test or math assignment. And then it's all perspective, isn't it? I mean, we all have different perspectives. Some people have difficult time getting out of bed, right? So everybody looks at trouble and problems differently. Some people, you know, they have anxiety, insecurity about themselves, financial problems, relationship issues. Some people deal with fear, you know. Some people have health issues. Some people, you know, suffer from the comparison line, you know, comparing themselves to other people. The Bible says it's not wise to compare ourselves with other people. People coming against you and discouragement. You know, and then sometimes in our faith camp, you know, we look at, it's almost as if, you know, if you have problems and you're not in faith. That's not true, right? I mean, Jesus had a number of problems, didn't he? I mean, he had a disciple that went against him. You know, he had all these Pharisees and Sadducees that want to kill him all the time, you know, always trying to set him up, again, doing good things, and then... or we got the other end, you know, people acting like they have it all together, but they don't. Let's look at Psalms chapter 46, verse 1. And yes, I'm not going to read all of King James tonight. Adrian is like trying to get me off of that. Like, I'm trying really hard to get out of these and the thous, but they pop out once in a while. You want to forgive me? But Psalms 46, 1, I'm going to kind of move quickly through some of these. This is the Amplified Version. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation, a very present and what? Well-proved help in trouble. You know, if we're trying to figure everything else on our own, first of all, we're missing the mark. Too many people have faith in their faith, rather than faith is a belief in a person, which is the Lord. The King James, I'm sorry, I have to slip in the King James here. It says, God is our refuge and strength, mighty, penetrable to temptation. I'm going to look up Psalms 46. Does anybody have it on King James or not? Yeah. Nobody does. Right. There's, yeah, read it. Awesome. Yeah. Psalms 46, 1. A very present help in trouble. That's awesome. Psalms 36, 39 says, the salvation of the righteous is the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. You know, just because we get into trouble, it doesn't mean we don't have faith. Right? I mean, that's where some people, they just think that I'm going to get saved and all my problems are going to go away and everything. That's not true at all. Sometimes you have more problems. I hate to say that. You know, especially the people who get born again. That's always the folks that just get born again. I said, watch it, because your friends are going to come around. They're going to ask you to go drinking again. They're going to ask you to go party. They're going to ask you to do these things. And you're going to have more temptation now because the devil was trying to intercept you from moving forward and capitalize on this life. And what happens is that's why so many people backslide, because, again, they just say some prayer. They think that God's going to deliver them from everything. And we are delivered from things, and he can, but too many times you're too young. You don't know how to defend yourself or stand up. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're going to go through some scriptures tonight. It says 2 Chronicles 7:14. I like the Amplified Classic. So crazy. I mean, to me, it was just the Amplified. Now we got the Amplified, and we got the Amplified Classic, and we got 22,000 scriptures, different translations here. It says, of my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. You know, humble people, they don't know everything. humble themselves, pray, and seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. There is a process of going to God. The joke, not the joke, but the saying is, you know, in the world, to go up is to stomp on everybody and go up. But in the kingdom, to go up is to go down. What I mean by that is you humbling yourself before Him. He knows more than me. And I've got that, just the simple revelation that God knows more than I do. I come to that conclusion. And we're going to look at some examples here in a minute where it doesn't look like, again, God is... When you look at everything in the Bible, nothing makes sense, does it? And God always does things because He doesn't want to rely on our own. Psalms 50, verse 15, the Amplified Classic says, "And call on me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall honor and glorify me." How many times do we see in the Word where God is going to defend you? He's going to be there for you. He's going to help you in the time of trouble, but we're trying to figure everything out on our own. We're trying to figure everything out. Psalms 3, 1 through 3, the New Living Translation says, "O Lord, I have so many enemies, so many are against me, so many are saying God will never rescue him, but you, O Lord, are my shield around me, you are my glory, the one who holds my head high." There are just times, maybe if you're not going through anything now, but you've had times before where it's like, I have no idea what to do, I need help. I've had those times where I just thought, Lord, I don't know what to do here, I need your help, and He's faithful. Just something the Lord's been speaking to me about this week is just we need to get back to the belief that God is the God of the impossible. We need to get back to the belief that God is the God of the impossible. God will deliver you and give you hope, but it will not be how you think it's supposed to end or how it's supposed to go. I mean, come on, let's say 5-10 years ago, do you think you'd be sitting here tonight? Probably not. A lot of us were here. Well, not in this building, but somewhere else. Proverbs 3, 4 through 10 says, starting in verse 5, "If you want," and this is the Living Bible, "if you want favor with God and man and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself." That's kind of owie, isn't it? Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first. He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Don't be conceited, sure of your own wisdom. Instead, trust and reverence the Lord and turn back on evil. Turn your back on evil. When you do that, then you will be given renewed health and vitality. That sounds like a snazzy commercial, doesn't it? You're going to have life and vitality. And guess what? It's God. Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income, and He will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wine. There are just things in our life, and I would dare say this, in every person's life right now, there's that one thing where you're just like, I need help in this area, I need help in this area. If you don't, well, it must be nice to be you. Because we all have that thing, you know, whether it's, you know, eating too much chocolate or, I don't know, whatever it is, you know. I have a problem watching Andy Griffith shows, okay? I got a problem with it because I annoy everybody in my house. Whatever your vice is, and I know that we got comments here. I can feel the hate. I can sense the haterade. Somebody's been drinking haterade in here, but anyway, there's whatever your issue is, God can help you with that. And often we're dealing with things because we just haven't turned it over to Him yet. I mean, we just haven't turned it over to Him completely and said, Lord, I need your help. I'm going to trust in the Lord and lean not on my own understanding, like the King James says. Now let's look at some of the things that God, the Lord did throughout the Bible, and these are just a few examples. We see that He provided supernaturally a ram for Abraham to sacrifice instead of his son Isaac. Abraham and Sarah were able to have Isaac when they were, you know, in their 90s. He provided a plan and revelation to Noah to build an ark and to rescue him and his family from the coming judgment. There's no rain. There's never been rain before. And then God says, oh yeah, by the way, there's going to be a flood. I mean, can you imagine that? It's kind of like being back in Bible time and God saying, okay, we're going to send a jet airplane here soon. You're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I've never seen a jet airplane. This is ridiculous. Have you ever seen the Noah's Ark there in, or is it Kentucky or whatever? That's a really amazing. If you haven't ever been there, you got to go, right? It's an absolute engineering marvel because we always see the, we just glance over the Genesis thing, you know, account and bless you. And we just see that, he just jammed a bunch of animals in this boat and away they went, you know, and then the other end, months later, they popped out and everybody's happy. No, you got to feed animals, you got waste control, you got water, you got all this stuff going on. It is amazing that time period that God gave Noah the engineering ability to be able to do all that stuff and sustain all of those animals for months on end. When it flooded, by the time the waters went, it's pretty amazing. I think I'm going to give Noah a big old sloppy kiss when we get to heaven someday and say, it's because of you we're all here. Yay! He provided Joseph to Egypt and the Hebrews to save them from famine. He sent a stuttering man to deliver them from Egyptian bondage, which is Moses. He defied the laws of nature by splitting the Red Sea and walking on water. He shut the mouths of lions. He turned water into wine. He used a shepherd boy to slay a seasoned giant warrior with a stone and a slingshot. He raised dead people back to life. He walked through the midst of angry crowds. They were frozen, and he walked through them, Jesus did, supernaturally. He made axe heads float. He made water flow out of rocks when Moses struck the rock in the wilderness and water flowed. He made Balaam's donkey talk. How'd you like that? You know, this is crazy. I want to read this too. Numbers. This is just crazy. Numbers 22, 21 through 39, but I'll read this portion here, this dialogue between Balaam and his donkey. And it says, verse 28, then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and said, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Balaam answered the donkey. He didn't think it was weird or anything. I think that's odd. You know, he just like, oh yeah, well, his donkey starts rattling off and saying, what are you doing beating me? And then he comes back and he says, well, you made a fool of me. Really? My response would be, let me videotape this thing. Let me get my phone out, right? But he's having an argument with the donkey. I would be flipping out. Like, I'm going to make some money off this donkey here. But anyway, it just defines all laws, doesn't it? He's having an argument with his donkey. Well, you made me a fool. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now. Then the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey? Which you've always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? And they answered, well, no. Anyway, I'll say some other things about maybe before the fall, but I've had some other people to give testimonies going to heaven and animals talking to them. So we see it here in this scripture. And again, who knows what kind of state animals were like before the fall? We don't know. So there's some speculation. But we got donkeys talking to people here. And this is just absolutely the craziest thing ever, isn't it? Sometimes we get in the way of the Lord, sometimes. I just remember Adrian and I were married for 13 years before we had Molly and Kate, right? and there was like no way we were, you know, doctors just couldn't figure things out. And so let's see, we were married for 13 years. I was, what, 10 when we got married? And so I was, wait a minute. Is that girl math, right? Am I using girl math here? Or mom math? I had to spend this money to save this money. And so, anyway, I'm kidding. But, but we had prophesied, people prophesied that we were going to have double for our trouble. Right? And we saw these things. It wasn't happening. It just looked impossible and everything. But what do? We kept hold of the Word of God and the prophetic thing that was spoken over us. We in our hearts saw, this is before, we saw three. We had three kids in the spirit realm. We saw them. Well, all of our natural, everything in the natural said, it's not happening, it's impossible. It's never going to happen, right? With God, all things are possible. Mr. Gary says, great big God, itty bitty devil, right? I love it. So, again, it's just, we got to believe God above everything else. God is the God of, you know what? He established the laws of physics, and guess what? He can change them at any time. He wrote the book so he can kind of change things anytime he wants to, right? There are several times in our life where we had just the impossible. We didn't have money to go to DeMata, School of Missions in Tulsa. Somehow, it's so funny because we went the whole school, it didn't pay anything, and then the last day, they're like, oh, somebody paid everything for you. So we went past the deadline of, you're like, you can't go to school anymore, you can't do this, and they're like, well, just keep going, you know? And it's easy just to go, oh, okay, we missed this deadline, we'll just have to quit. And they just go, just keep coming back, we'll just believe for you. And then, like, the next, it was like that last week of school, somebody paid for everything. Because we knew we were supposed to be there. Years ago, Adrian saw, we were in prayer school at Rhema, and she saw ministering to, you know, kids in Africa. Well, that came to pass this year, you know. Sometimes it takes time, but again, even though the vision tarries, it will come to pass, the Word says. There are things in your life where you're believing for, right? We were married 13 years before we had Molly and Kate. And it's just one of those things where if you stay with God, it's going to come to pass. If you've got a Rhema word on it, if you've got the written word, you're standing on something, then it will come to pass. I was counting this up this week, and I don't know what it is about us. I've counted it. We have had 8 vehicles given to us in the last 20 years. I mean, I don't know what it is about vehicles and us. So, but it's like, they're just like magnets. I don't know. Here, come on, bro. Do that. If you need a vehicle, we'll pray for you or something. But anyway, you know, God, I'm telling you what, when you just believe God, I remember we were at Rhema, and we needed a vehicle, and that old heap, that hoopty that we were driving, he'd be driven off a cliff, and we were standing, and we were believing for exact color, vehicle, and everything, and I took, this is the Bible that I had, this is my one I've had forever, been in, fell in dog bowls, I need to probably have it rebound, it's like, it's been tattered, and battered, and sauteed, and frottéed, and whatever else kind of you can do to it. But I took this Bible, sat on the ground, stood on it, and I said, God, I'm standing on the Word. We need a vehicle. And I started quoting scriptures. And then 2 hours later, somebody called us and said, hey, I got this vehicle, and it was the same car we wanted, same color, exact car. Wasn't a relative or anything, just out of the blue, right? So I'm telling you what, God is the God of impossible. He is. And we've seen things over and over and over again. So again, not leaning to your own understanding, and I definitely don't have anything about education. I've got some education, but the world wants you to analyze everything. And, you know, especially when you do any kind of academic paper writing or anything like that, everything is about having academics, resources and sources and intellectual reason and everything else too. And I'm going to tell you what, most of the financial analysts did not see the 2008-2009 recession. They didn't. And they did not see it coming. Did not see the housing crisis. Did see anything of it. You would think, how are people this smart with PhDs in economics and finance and graduate degrees miss all this stuff? Because I'm telling you what, you cannot rely on your own understanding. How many people knew COVID was around the corner? Well, besides the New World Order and people who cooked it up. But, you know, nobody saw the stuff coming. God did, right? And prophets, they prophesied exactly where it came from. And I remember that January 2020 when, or whatever, that year that it just started coming out and everything else too. There was prophets that had said everything that... about everything, about where it came from, who was behind it, and everything else too. And this is before it even came to the United States, and it was this big thing. But God knows, right? But when you listen to the TV and the news, everything's wonderful, everything's great. Don't look at it, you know. Just keep your head buried in the sand. But that's why we can't lean onto our own understanding. We got to be led by the Spirit on the inside, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, now about food offered and the idols, of course we know, this is 1 Corinthians 8:1, the Amplified Classic, of course we know that all of us possess knowledge. Here we go. Yet mere knowledge causes people to be puffed up, to bear themselves lofty and be proud, but love, affection and goodwill and benevolence edifies and builds up and encourages one to grow and to his future status. I always like to say this way, knowledge, just the fact of knowledge, puffs up and it pushes people away from God. Why? Because you rely on your own ability and your own understanding. I want to read that portion again. It says, yet mere knowledge causes people to be puffed up and to bear themselves lofty and to be proud. You know, I don't know this, but the more I learn, the more I understand what I don't know. You know, the more I learn and I study, the more I think there's this vast amount of stuff. Like, the deeper I get into the Bible, I'm thinking, wow, I really don't know anything. Right? I remember Brother Hagin saying that, and I'd be in class or something, and he'd say something like, boy, I just feel like I'm just so stupid when I read stuff and everything. And I thought, how can he say that? I mean, I just wish I had like a quarter of what, you know, he has. But he had the revelation that there's like so much stuff out there we don't know, and you'll never know, and it's just so vast. How can anybody be prideful? Right? I remember just, you know, being a teenager and stuff and living at home. And, oh, my parents don't know nothing, you know, all that stuff. I know more than that. Though. Can't wait to get out of here. I know it all. I know everything. And then you get out and you're like, they knew a few things, you know. You get older and you think, maybe they knew a little bit more than I did. So, you know, I was in college. I know everything. Now I don't. Now I look back and I'm like, I didn't know anything. I still don't know anything. It's just the grace of God that I can get out of bed in the morning and put my shoes on, you know? It's all God's grace. So, in order, which leads us to the next thing, is not leaning to our own understanding. Why? Because what seems logical to us, right? Well, that's, I should do this. I'm going to tell you what, it didn't seem logical for me to go to Bible college. I had a job that, you know, we were in a church. Everything was going great. I had a house we really liked. In fact, I still miss that house sometimes. But, you know, it didn't make sense to go to college. So we had this house, had this job. Everything was settled. We were happy there. And then all of a sudden, it's like Tulsa. Ah, no. We got some Tulsa people went to Tulsa too. You know, it's like, ah, no. Church and restaurants, that's about it. Anyway, but there's some other good places. But anyway, yeah. So it was one of those things where like, really, Lord? And so every other night, I'd wake up and the Lord's like, you need to go to Raymond. I'm like, I want to go back to bed. And about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, every other night. And then once it got closer, it was every night I woke up. It was like, you're going to go, you're going to go. And what did I say? This doesn't make sense. And one of the guys that actually I worked for, that I worked at, see again, this nothing makes sense here. This is why you can't go into your own understanding. I got him baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was already born again, but he was like, I don't know if I have that old tongue stuff or anything. So I showed him scripture. He came, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, prayed in tongues. So now my boss is a spirit-filled believer. And then I was talking to him. I said, I don't know what I should do. I don't know what I should do, you know, and whether I should go to Rhema or not. And, you know, we had a real, we were very blunt with each other, you know. So he said, you need to get your down there and you need to do what God told you to do. And he'll speak through people, right? Wait a minute. I've got you baptized in the Holy Ghost and you're telling me, giving me words of information, giving me words of wisdom. So again, it's not going to be, again, way we think that it's going to be. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. We're not led by knowledge. Now, it doesn't mean you shut your brain off, and I'm just going to close my eye. I'm going to cross the street here. I'm going to be led by the Holy Ghost. No, He gave us two eyes. He gave us the natural realm. We need to use it. We need to be educated. We need to think for ourselves. We're not saying shut your brain off. But what it does mean is, it not everything in this life is all about logically trying to get everything figured out yourself. That's the point of depression, because guess what? You don't know everything. And when you're trying to figure everything out yourself, that's when you're going to get in trouble. But when you turn to God and say, God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. And all wisdom is taking knowledge and knowing what to do with it. And that's where God comes in. He goes, okay, you got bits and pieces here and this is all great and everything, but guess what? We're going to put it all together. And I'm going to help you develop something and do something here. John chapter 14, verse 25 says, I love this part. We're almost coming to an end here. John 14, 25 says, I'm telling you, this is Jesus. Pause here for a moment. This is Jesus talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate, which is the Holy Spirit here, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Guys, let me tell you something. Peace only comes from resting in the Lord. I want to stop here a minute too. Brother Hagin had this experience and I had it too. And this would just tell you that God can do things for you. Brother Hagin had a learning disability. He was underdeveloped. He had health issues when he was younger. And he just had problems doing things. And he said after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit that he just started to be, he could take mass quantities and just start memorizing things. And he just like became like a photographic memory. And I just remember being in class and he would take chapters. I'd be in class, you know, Brother Hagin would teach, or we'd be other places, he'd take a chapter, and he'd just quote, he'd just stand there for, I don't know how long, and just quote the whole chapter and chapter and chapter. He'd do that sometimes. He just would just quote, quote and quote and quote. So we got somebody that had a learning disability, I mean, in a sense, and he was, you know, had all kinds of health issues and everything, he was underdeveloped. And I just remember myself just, what God's done in my life personally. I remember I had reading issues and I had learning, I don't say learning disability, but I had problems reading. I had all these things and I wasn't really the stellar student. I didn't like school. I didn't like school at all. I couldn't stand it. And I was a shop guy, so I was like doing woods, you know, auto mechanics, all that stuff. So I was like, if I have to read something, I don't want to, you know. And I remember sitting in my counselor's office one time, and I was talking about different things. He goes, I'm not sure you're a college guy, you know? And I did not want to go to school, did not want to do anything. And so, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you go to school, if you don't, you know, trade schools are great. You know, there's whatever path you're going to go. But anyway, I just didn't have the confidence to do. I didn't want to go to college. I didn't want to do those things when I was in high school. I just thought, I'm just going to work. I'm going to do these things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But anyway, long story short, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I began to the ability to retain knowledge and read on a lot faster level. It just, something happened, because again, I didn't rely on my ability, but I'm like, Lord, I need help here. And, you know, I'm not some brilliant person, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that God took me from a place of, you know, couldn't hardly stand to read. Now, every chance I get, I love to read stuff, and I like to absorb information, and my reading comprehension has just totally gone off the, and it's because of God. He just helps me do things, right? So I was relying on my own ability to do things. God steps in and says, okay, let me help you with this. And when I became baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus talks about in the scripture, which applies to me, we all apply it, that what? We not rely on our own understanding, right? But he says what? He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15, this is really good too, just a couple chapters over. While you're turning there, tonight, one of the points I want to get across is this. No matter what you're dealing with, if you're challenged in an area, you do not have to stay here. You don't have to stay in that position. You don't have to stay in locked in where you're at. There's hope. And sometimes we think that, oh, it's going to be forever. You know, there are things that I don't worry about. I remember I lost my job when I was doing mortgage advisor, and I was doing all this mortgage stuff, and then, you know, the rates ticked up 0.25%, about 0.8%, and then everything dropped off the table, and the company decided, well, we're just going to get rid of this. And, you know, so you go through different seasons of life where you're, you know, there's different things that pop up, and you're like, I've got to deal with this, and I got to deal with this, I got to deal with this. So whatever things you're dealing with today, you can get rid of those. I mean, the Holy Spirit can help you do these things. John chapter 16, verse 13, says, when the Spirit of truth comes, and this, he's kind of going off again of what chapter 14 we just read, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. I'm going to stop there a minute. Now, we don't use the Holy Spirit to use the Holy Spirit as like a future teller or anything. I'm like, oh, bring me your hand. I'm going to try to get an old tuckle. No, but he's going to show you things about things you need to know in the future. Then he goes on here and he says, he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So again, back to that thing, the Lord showed us, hey, we were going to have three kids. He also showed Adrian about, hey, you're going to be ministering in Africa sometime. You know, he'll show you things to come. And I was just, the Lord was speaking to me about some things just this week. And, you know, if you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit and listen to him, he's going to show you and reveal things about your life, things maybe can change, some things in the future he's wanting to show you. It's amazing because, and this is something we purposely don't do, I haven't really, but when the kids were born, I would have revelation on each one of them what they were going to do later. And you can do that because the Holy Spirit will do. Why? Because he needs you to pray things out for him. Not everything, and this is something too, you just got to have wisdom on. Like he has shown me things about people that if I would tell them, they'd probably be embarrassed, right? So I know that wisdom, when the Holy Spirit reveals things to you, there's a wisdom there of saying, okay, I don't need to know that. He's not showing you to blab things, but sometimes he's revealing things for you to pray out some things for people, right? And I just remember, and here's the thing too, when you start saying things and the Lord reveals things to you about people and you start blabbing it, and then he starts telling you less and less and less because then they can't trust you. I've been around ministers and people like that too, where it's like, well, the Lord showed me this. And I'm like, why are you telling people this stuff, right? I mean, this is private. This is stuff you don't want to tell people. And he'll reveal more things to you. Why? Because there's a purpose. And that's why often when you get things in the Spirit, even here, I'll get something, and my whole thought process in the back of my mind is like, okay, what's the purpose of this? Like, what am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to tell the person about it, or am I supposed to pray about it? And that's wisdom, right? Because just because you have something doesn't mean I got to tell everybody. I got to, you know, we got to say this. What is the Holy Spirit telling you? And many people are frustrated and discouraged because they're trying to figure out everything on their own. So when you do receive, when you're at a crossroad and you're decision making, what are obviously you want to pray about it. And sometimes things will happen to you. I've known in the past and some things will happen. It's like it's a test. I don't believe God's, you know, some denominations think that they're putting, you know, God's putting sickness on people and that it's a test and to do things and this is a test. But there is a growing and a developing sometimes that God is going to take you through. And you're going to have to grow and develop in some things. First Chronicles 10:13 says, He will not let you be tempted beyond your capacity. If we're going to trust God, He's not going to put more on you than you can handle, right? I'm not at the level of Jesus where I can go to the cross and I'm sweating blood and everything, you know. Now, Jesus' capacity was really big and a lot bigger than mine. 2 Chronicles 15:7 says, But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Sometimes it's just a timing issue, isn't it? You just have to outlast the devil. I noticed that too, that one of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. And that means that you're not going to leave or forsake. You know, one of the traits of the devil is to quit and to give up. Tuck tail and run. One of the qualities of the Holy Spirit, God's quality, is you're going to stick with it and be faithful. Now, there is change in seasons, and of course, you know, He calls people to do other things, and I understand that. But 2 Peter 3:9, we'll close with this. The Lord is slow in keeping His promise. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know what? God is patient with you. He's going to help you through whatever it is if you're dealing with, you need help on. But I love the scripture. I want to read it one more time. The Lord is not slow to keep His promise, as some understand slowness. It said He is patient with you. You know, if the Lord would have spoke to me and gave me revelation, you know, sometimes when He talks, the way He talks to me and the way we communicate back 25 years ago, I'd freak out. I wouldn't be able to handle it, right? Kind of like, you know, me being, I don't know, 15 years old and then somebody driving by my parents' house and dropping off, you know, what if I was, you know, drop off a baby in my lap? Freak out! Sometimes we got to develop into some things, don't we, right? Because I know if I was, you know, 14 years old or what, my girl's age, and I was, somebody dropped off a baby and says, okay, we're done. You got to take care of this baby. The baby would be crying. About 2 hours later, I'd be crying because my capacity wasn't there. Lord, we thank You tonight. You're our help in trouble. Amen. We thank You, Holy Ghost, for Your help tonight. We thank You, Lord, that You are faithful, Lord, and You're going to deliver us, Lord. You're going to help us, and You're there. You are our ever-present help in the time of need tonight, Lord. We are not going to lean on to our own understanding. We don't care what our circumstances say. We don't care what the world says. We don't care what everything else is going on. We're going to be led by Your Spirit, Lord God. We're going to be guided by peace, because the Holy Spirit gives us peace in everything that we do, Lord. And tonight, I pray that people are being set free in their minds and their hearts tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we're renewing our mind. But I also speak, Lord, right now, that people are delivered right now from fear. The fear is broken off of people. Discouragement is broken off of people, Lord God. Hopelessness is broken off of people in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord God. that we are not going to stay here forever, and we are not going to be in this state, Lord God, but we're going from faith to faith and glory to glory, Lord God, and we're developing and growing in the name of Jesus. We just thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great week, everybody. Thanks again.